Hey guys, before we start this episode of Tannins and Tunes, I just wanted to let you know, our website is live. So go to tanninsandtunes.com now, sign up to get the tasting notes so that you can know what we've been tasting, what musical we paired it with, what it tasted like, what it smelled like, all those cool things. Get on our mailing list and subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review. If you like what you're hearing, leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing less than 4 stars, you guys. Hope you enjoy. What was one thing in your week?
Oh my god.
I told you we were gonna do it.
Man, I moved out of my apartment.
Oh god, I'm getting ready to do that this weekend.
Classic.
I moved out of my apartment and I am still hurting.
I'm still hurting.
Whoa! Yeah.
Let's have another round tonight. Raise a glass to freedom. Something they can never take away, no matter what they tell you. Raise a glass to the four of us. Tomorrow there'll be more of us.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica Humphrey.
And I'm Jonathan Caberta.
Today we have a very special guest with us, our good friend, Ariana DeBose.
Hi. Hello. You guys make me laugh.
Already having too much fun. Full disclosure for our listeners. It is currently 11 o'clock at night on a Monday.
On a Monday.
We are all exhausted, so we're going to get really silly and just have a good time.
Even more than usual.
John.
So, Ariana, tell us a little bit about yourself. Just highlights.
Oh, highlights. Well, I'm brown and have curly hair, and my favorite color is turquoise.
Perfect.
Amazing. I also sing and dance for a living and say some words. Sometimes I say them really good.
And in the right order.
Even in the right order.
And often at the same time.
Often at the same time, I do all of those things. Sometimes I fly in the air.
Oh, fancy.
No, I moved to New York when I was 19, and I've been really lucky to work fairly consistently. You probably most notably might remember me as the Bullet from Hamilton, and I'm currently playing Jane in Chaz Palminteri's A Bronx Tale, directed by Robert De Niro and
Bobby
Zacks. Yeah, Bobby Baby Bobby. I just came from a gala for him tonight over at the New York Film Society at Lincoln Center.
Nice.
It was Star Power, Meryl, and
Glam.
Meryl and Meryl. I was
all
there for
know.
Meryl.
All you need to know.
But it was a lot. It's Martin Scorsese.
Oh my god.
You know, that just everyone brilliant. Who's ever worked with him and loved him and was available to be there tonight was there. It was really quite lovely.
Cool.
Perfect.
Did he speak?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
And he gave a speech longer than 5 minutes.
Oh. Shut up.
It was awesome. He's actually really eloquent when you give him the chance to be, when he has something to say,
right.
Says
on
it.
A platform.
And
that's cool.
It was wonderful to hear all the stories about him and the type of man that he is when he's on a set and the longevity within his career and throughout film genres, because that's what I think people forget about him.
Right.
He is so great at both dramatic pieces and comedy. He is funny,
that's
you know? Our generation is like, yeah, meet the Fockers.
Right,
but we're like,
right.
I don't know, Deer Hunter?
Right.
Literally.
So, you know, that was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
That's me.
Well,
I mean,
Jonathan.
I'm not De Niro, but you know what I mean. it's going well.
Jonathan, how do you know Ariana? Keep it short.
God, how do I know the lioness? We met in Raleigh, North Carolina. She was doing a Chorus Line, a production of a Chorus Line. I was dating a girl in the show at the time. Ended up talking with Ariana more. The girl afterwards.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp.
Sorry, we're on very good terms.
Yeah.
And truly, we became best friends.
Yeah.
Ever since.
Yeah. We literally shut the theater down. It was amazing.
The theater down.
Popo shut us down.
Talked to each other on the phone every single night, complaining about high school.
Mm-hmm. Or the current election. I remember calling you about that. That was crazy.
Oh, and or
who was running
what
that
we
year?
Got for Christmas. Like, it was
anything
random
and everything.
Then we went to prom together, and we've mm-hmm. just been together ever since.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Well, there you go. And I know Ariana from college.
Yeah, or from my brief stint
in college. At Western Carolina, and all that.
You forget. You gracefully took over for me when I broke my ankle. We were doing another production of A Chorus Line, and I was playing Cassie, directed by our mentor, Charlotte Dumboise, and I broke my ankle on opening night, and Jess took over for me. And I remember, like, crying my life away, being like, we're going to put you in this right now, and I'm teaching her the dance, sort of. I couldn't stand. But, yeah, that pretty much sealed our bond.
Right? That was crazy. God, and this was also after Ari was on So You Think You Can Dance, and so everybody came to A Chorus Line thinking that they were going to see Ariana DeBose's So You Think You Can Dance, and they wound up with me.
Thank you so much. You did great, honey.
So if you ever want to see Ariana's replacement, just watch that video.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so let's...
Wait. There's a video.
Yeah, there is a video. It's classic.
Oh, I'm sorry, listeners out there. I need to take a moment.
There's a video.
I'm going to go watch it.
She sings the crap out of that song whilst dancing. It's like
no doubt.
Awesome.
It's a fun one. It was definitely an experience for sure. So you've been on other podcasts and things like that talking about mostly Hamilton, right?
Mm-hmm. Which snooze fest.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing interesting about that.
Get it. He gets shot. Spoiler alert.
He dies.
God. What's his name, man? We get it. It's a book.
So we decided not to talk about Hamilton today.
Okay. But we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
So we're very interested in Bring It On, the musical.
Okay.
And would like to chat with you all about your experience.
Fantastic. Let's do it.
Bring It On.
Do, 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 do,
do,
do, do. Yes.
Woo.
All of that music was really incredible. It's sort of underrated in my book, or my opinion, because it was really smart. They were just really smart in the way that they crafted the music for that musical.
It gets you pumped.
It does. I'm still running to it. Like,
oh, yeah.
Guys, that opening, what I was born to do.
She really does.
She's it.
Well, and we were talking earlier about how, in my opinion, there wouldn't be a Hamilton if not for Bring It On.
I would agree with you.
Because
wholeheartedly.
The way that the music is crafted, like, they're literally pieces of the score that are in Bring It On. And the same orchestration. Like, Alex Sacramora, I feel like, tried a lot of things out on Bring It On that made it into Hamilton.
Totally. And, you know, I could cite a few of them. There's like a drum lick in My Year, My Time, My Destiny. Bring It On.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a drum lick at the end of Act One that is 100% in Hamilton a few times. you know, and I think that's what makes them a dream team, Lynn and Lack. They vibe off of each other so well, and Alex can literally predict like what's about to happen, but just how to interpret what Lynn has given him. He is a genius at that. And so I love it when I see him honored for his work because that's sort of a sacred relationship, you know, orchestrations
totally
to music and lyrics,
exactly.
So,
and I think it's publicized very often.
It's not. I think it's not thankless, but it's definitely undervalued. You know,
right?
Orchestrations make or break a musical, truly.
Right.
And some musicals you love sheerly because it's not about the lyric. It's about everything that's surrounding the lyric.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people get confused by that sometimes. And yep. they assign success or acknowledgement to the wrong person. But, you know, I really can't say enough about the music of that show. It was just so... It was fun to do. It was current. It
right.
was just such a smart adaptation.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah. It is, like you said, like, it's an underrated show.
Mm-hmm.
People really don't think about it, and it's a really well-crafted show in terms mm-hmm. of plot, in terms of music, and the direction, I feel like, had a lot to do with that. Like,
yeah.
talk about that a little bit with Andy Blankenbuehr, who directed and choreographed this.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of his first ventures out into the realm
mm-hmm.
of a director, choreographer extraordinaire that he is. And he was really smart when it came to casting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He searched and searched and searched for us.
Right.
And found the best possible people he could, but people who were the characters they were playing.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Course.
Like, I had a Nautica moment. Oh, 3 days ago. It was so good. It was just like, wow, you are as blonde as your highlights, sister. You know? It was fascinating. So he saw Nautica in me, mm-hmm. and that's how I got that job. But I will say he's a strong person to be at the helm of a show because his vision is so clear. You know, mm-hmm. it may not be clear to any of us, but he sees it. It is
right.
unwavering. And he constantly pushes the entire group to be better than they were the day before.
Wow.
And working with him in that context as my first show was really hard. Because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah,
right.
As we've established, I did not graduate college. So for a long time, I felt like that sort of put me in a, like I was playing catch up or something. And so he was constantly having to be like, don't think about that.
Right.
Like, just say the words. I want you to think about it like this.
And trust it.
He taught me a lot about comedic timing because I didn't think I was a very funny individual. Apparently, in that show, I was pretty funny. I'll give myself that.
Very funny.
But
hysterical.
For, you know, all the strange reasons. But a lot of my success in that show, it was due to him.
That's amazing.
He's really good at investing in people.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the time and helping you find all the layers that you need while juggling everything else.
Everything.
Well, the lighting, the this moment doesn't serve the piece. We have to change the moment. And watching him work so quickly on his feet was inspiring.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but even like having that strong of a vision, he still accepted when he didn't know something, like especially
Absolutely.
About the cheerleading.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's why he went and found the best cheerleading supervisor he could find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jessica Colombo, she's married and that is not her last name anymore. And I can't remember what it is at the moment, but I love you, Jess.
We'll put it in
was
the credits.
So, yeah, do. She was literally the best of the best, and she brought in the best cheerleaders in the country to do the show with us.
That's amazing.
And, you know, I will say that component, you had never seen anything like that on Broadway
mm-hmm.
before bringing on the musical, and we really flew people in the air. Like,
correct.
we had just bodies flying everywhere
right.
all the time. And I had to learn to stunt, and I was scared of heights. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm a dancer, I know my body, but you asked me to stand on somebody's hand, and the person that is lifting me in the air is already, like, 6 feet tall.
Ain't gonna happen, Cal.
No. You know, but I will never forget the day he looked at me and was like, great, so you're gonna stunt? And I said, awesome. And he goes, great, just put your feet in there and go. Okay. And I did it, because when Andy says jump, you say how high. But
8 times a week.
8 times a week. But that component, you don't realize how exciting and also the craftsmanship that goes behind being an excellent cheerleader and how to do it safely. And
exactly.
Our cheer team really went above and beyond. What kind of word is that? Above and beyond to find the safest way to do the stunts all the time because we did have a high injury rate. So we always had to have a plan B and then a plan C. And if that failed, we had to have a plan X. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Right.
So that component, part of the process was very intriguing.
Well, and I bet that doing those stunts, too, helped get you ready for shows like Pippin, where...
Absolutely. Definitely eased that transition, and while I was still scared of heights,
having had... Do the trap beat!
Right? Like, having, stunt training made it easier for me to learn how to fly trapeze.
Pop into that show.
Oh, my God. Well, and I was a dancer and super flexible already.
Right.
And they hadn't had a leading player like that yet. So they went to town on me. But we had a good time.
Do all of the things.
Act like you like it.
Act like you like it.
So we're going to take just a quick break from Bring It On and talk about this wine that I have chosen for today. So... Of course, per usual, you can find this at BTL Harlem at 127th and St. Nick, which is where I work. Come and visit me. We'll talk it up.
I will be there.
Definitely.
I'm there drinking.
All the time. It's great. So today I picked a rosé because what better for Bring It On than rosé? I mean, it's perfect. It's pink. It's girly. But also this one... packs a punch.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
It is great. So a
cross
little bit, right? A little bit about this grape. So we're dealing with an Austrian rosé today.
Okay.
Which is not typical. We all think like Côte de Provence rosé or like some cupcake.
Yeah.
Rosé, like something.
A Californian rosé.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
There's literally a rosé out there called White Girl Rosé.
Liv.
I was like, what? I don't even know what that tastes like. Like, what? I don't know what that is. Okay, so this is an Austrian rosé made from the, I'm going to totally butcher this, and I apologize to any Austrian person out there, the Blaufränkisch grape, which
that's impressive.
Literally just means blue Frankish grape.
Blue Frankish?
Blue Frankish.
Grape.
And it's indigenous to Austria, and it's typically, it's a red grape, and it's usually really, really tannic, so it has, like, that big mouthfeel to it, and it's somewhat spicy, and it's normally turned into this, like, deeply colored red wine, and it, with, like, dark fruits and pepper flavor, like, kind of like what we tasted on Sweeney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would be kind of like that if we were just taking that grape and seeing it in its typical fashion. But when they turn it into a rosé, it's that heavy body just gets lifted out of it.
Okay.
So when we're looking at the color of this, I see, like, this salmon color, right?
It's beautiful. It really is.
Gorgeous. Here, I'm going to bring it over here and crack it open for a second.
Yes. Crack.
It's a twist crackle. Off.
What better sound than that?
You guys.
Easy access. I'm about it.
Twist-offs are awesome. And everybody has this, like, thing about it, like, it's not going to be as good. And it really is.
They're
lying. It's just really good. Really just as good.
Let me, like, get into that for a minute.
So we're just looking at color first. And so we see this, like, salmon-y color. And that tells me that it was probably not left on the skin too long.
Oh.
Because when we have these deeply colored grapes, if it was left on the skin, it would be a deeply colored wine, right? Mm. So when we make rosé, we basically just don't leave the wines on the skin as long.
Okay.
And that, yeah, that's basically how you make rosé.
That's that.
That's that.
Learning so much.
Live.
Right? So, and I literally put in my notes, like, while I was looking at this, I was like, you know what? This is most likely done with maceration or with...
Wait, what did you say?
Maceration.
Maceration. So, I thought that was it's the word.
That still...
Get your life,
but, wow.
I can get this pink wine in me.
Whoa.
We just took a
turn. We can all macerate together.
Here we go. Or brief Sanyi method. And the Sanyi method is like, Sanyi, Jonathan's giving me a look like, say that again. We don't have 2 moments. We're just going to mess up words. And Sanyi is that method of like leaving it on the skins for not a long time. And so the juice was probably pressed from the grapes or from the skins before it got too dark. And with this, it was probably done within like a few hours.
Hmm.
Or it could have been like 12 to 24 hours, most likely.
So were they fairly quick to
Quick process. Super, super quick process of getting the juice away from the skins. Mm. Because the more that we leave the skins on there, the more tannic it's going to be, the bolder the color is going to be. So let's smell it.
Ah.
Okay.
Yep.
It smells delicious.
Come on.
So like I'm getting like...
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like red apple, some red fruit, so like that strawberry, raspberry, cherry blossom, that type of stuff on the nose.
Yep.
Getting in there. And then when you taste it. Yeah.
It's nice.
It's like fruity without being sweet.
Yeah. I was going to say it leaves a little like sparkle on your tongue without being a sparkling rosé. You know what
I mean? Exactly.
It's nice. It's really nice.
It's super refreshing, like kind of minerally.
Super refreshing.
Yeah.
It's
like
fun.
Perfect for summer. And
yeah.
What do you think of to summer? But like cheerleaders.
Well, I mean, we always sort of imagined that Bring It On was set somewhere in California-ish. You know what I mean?
Fun fact from the back.
Yeah.
Bring It On, the movie, was filmed at San Diego State University.
Oh, yeah.
Where I went.
Hey,
go Toros.
Hey. Go Toros. Live.
Literally, my roommate and I were watching it while we were in grad school, and we're like, wait, no, that's our classroom. Okay, cool. Bye.
Wow.
I was just saying tonight to someone, oh, yeah, because of the gala, like when you're watching all these movie clips and you're like, that's in New York and that's in Seattle. And when you see places that you know so well, it's just like,
exactly.
Wow, I love that feeling.
This is weird.
It's fun, though. It's fun like this rosé.
This rosé is the definition of fun, like cranberry and strawberry in the taste. And it's so clean.
It is
like,
clean.
It's just really clean, which is probably meant that it was aged in or fermented in stainless steel rather than, like, this has no oak on it.
Oh, yeah, this doesn't have any oak.
So most likely stainless steel, which gives it that, like, clean brightness to it.
I like that.
Just like the music of Bring It On, like, clean,
it's
bright,
stainless
popping.
Steel.
Energetic.
I mean,
stainless steel.
Stainless steel. That's
stainless.
Really how you describe Bring It On, actually.
Legendary.
Legendary.
So check out this wine at BTL Harlem or any place that sells the Blaufränkisch Rosé from Stren.
It's so good.
It is amazing. So while we sip on this, we're going to do lightning round.
I don't know. It's all right.
So this is basically where it doesn't have to be about the show, but we're just gonna throw you questions. You can throw some questions back at us.
Okay.
This is the stressful part.
Okay, so I'll go first. So favorite moment of the show.
Which one?
Of
Bring It On. Oh, that was
we could do any show.
Favorite moment of Bring It On. I really, really enjoyed the end of Act One, actually.
The title song.
Yeah, the title song. It was so good. We were all in like ninja black, like living my best life. Boom, boom. That choreography was right. The music was right. That drum lick, Alex Ivermore,
yep.
was
there
right.
You go.
Live.
You know, that for me was
yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Move.
Move.
Welcome to Jackson. Boom, boom, boom. I remember the first time I saw it.
Oh, you
screaming.
Saw it in Atlanta.
Yes.
Yeah. I was
There's
horrible.
Something about that God. Number of the lockers coming down. And
well, it turned into a skate park.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That
was
the thing.
I was obsessed. I was like, what am I watching?
Well, and to be clear, the lockers tilted down and like people were running on lockers. Like we were a minimal set, so everything did everything.
Right.
It was fascinating to see how they used this stuff.
I was obsessed. And literally, the rest of the drive home.
That's all you thought about.
That's all I thought about. Cars passing me. Move!
I can see this happening. Another fun story. So my whole thesis was basically like the history of rap music and musical theater.
I love it. I love that you did that. You would do that.
Right, as you do. So I felt really bad because I'm a terrible rapper. Like, terrible. So bad.
Oh, really?
Oh,
would you like to give us an example?
But I try. I really do try. And for one of my juries in grad school, I rapped from Bring It On.
Yeah, you did. Which one?
The one from It's All Happening.
A girl rap or a boy's rap?
Boy rap.
Pick Jimmy wearing a
tank. No, the, okay, so women who wouldn't be good.
Oh. I can't hear you, Jeff.
No, I know. Oh, my God.
I mean, you are in front of a mic, but.
It's true. Okay, if I look up the lyrics, I'll do a little bit, and then we can cut it out.
Okay.
If it's terrible.
If it's bad.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post.
Which I feel like you're going to be amazing.
No, it's literally, I have this on video that is, like, hidden on YouTube, so no one can watch it.
But oh, I'm going to go look for it. We're looking for it.
God, I've already watched the Cassie dance.
You just during this whole thing.
So you all do this while I look this up so that I can practice.
All right.
You got a lightning round?
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Least favorite.
Least favorite moment? I don't have any least favorite moments. Actually, I did have one.
One. I was gonna say.
Andy looked at me one day and said, so you're on 14 now. I need you to go to 14 on the other side of the stage. And I was like, great. How long... or how much time do I have to do it? And he goes, 4 counts.
Rude.
So my solution to that was to slide my body, my entire right side, across the stage in some weird-looking mop, hip-hop slide. And I wasn't thinking about doing it 8 times a week. But it was during Friday Night Jackson.
Ooh.
And I did not like that moment.
Nope.
Just that one specific dance move. I'm sure it looked really cool, and I really hope someone out there remembers it, because if not...
God, I wish I did. I mopped
my body across the floor for no reason. I did, because as I said before, when Andy says go, you say
when
yes.
He says jump, you say how high, Mr. Vanken Bueller.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Just like that.
So if you're ever in a room with him, make sure you say it like that.
I will. How high? Hair Blankenbuehler.
Oh, great.
You got those lyrics?
Yep, those lyrics. Okay.
I'm
pulled up.
Anxiously waiting for this.
Great. Well, I'm not going to look at you all because I'm going to laugh and I'm not going to be able to do it.
Okay. That's acceptable.
Okay, so women who wouldn't give me the time of day are starting the squad and they want me to play. And if I play, I'll be famous. Give me a hard one. These are no-brainers. Ooh. I don't know what these other brothers are thinking. They must have been drinking. Get it and let it sink in. Ha. What are you scared? You think Syrian is feminine? Ha. I'm a feminist woman and women, gentlemen. Bow. Consider it. It's a little different, isn't it? Your thinking is limited. Give it a minute. Envision it. Dead in the middle of 70 women on television. Every little bit of precision is magnificent.
Imagine the girls. Imagine the action.
And that's with
fantastic.
Multiple glasses of wine.
Wow. Bravo, my love. I'm sincerely impressed.
Let it be known,
impressed.
Audience, at 11:30 on a Monday.
She did that.
Wow.
I'm proud of you. Your skills are officially paying off.
I'm just improving.
Every little bit of precision is magnificent. What? That was one of the hardest parts of that track, was that moment that you just did. It's like, that was the make or break moment for that track, I think. That and the Ain't No Thing.
Oh, yeah.
Scene. If you didn't nail that scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, you did.
There was hell to pay.
Now, remind me, you went on for Danielle a couple times.
I did. I was on for a whole city once, actually.
Oh, wow.
Adrienne, my girl, she sustained an injury to her hip.
Oh.
So, as a result, I got to open the show in my hometown in Raleigh-Durham, and then I played basically the whole leg of the tour in Charlotte, North Carolina. So that was a really great opportunity for me because I'm from North Carolina.
Right.
But yeah, that was one of the hardest understudying experiences I've ever had because I was on stage with her. I was in every scene with
her.
So in my head, when I would have understudy rehearsal, I'm like being Danielle. And then that night it'd have to be Nautica. And one night we were in LA and they started rehearsing me and we got to like the clump where Danielle stands in the front of the clump and we all start raising our hands. It's the poster moment.
Right.
And she goes, "Who's in?" And she was supposed to say it. Instead, that night it was a duet. And I said, "Who's in?" really loud, right in her ear. And she turned and looked at me and said, "I'm in." I've never seen. I thought she was going to go full Patti LuPone on me in that moment.
Literally.
And, you know, she was really great about it because I felt horrible about it. It was a totally innocent mistake, but I have never seen a look like that in her eyes since. Well, LA was a big thing for the show for all of us. So
yeah.
Unfortunately, that fuck up came at the wrong time. But you know, I redeemed myself eventually.
There you go. I mean, all comes full circle, I guess.
Right? Oh, those moments.
Okay, another question is, okay, so talking about understudy experiences, like what is your craziest understudy experience?
Motown, I was covering Diana Ross, played by Felicia Lakai, and she got sick. It was the week of the Tonys, and she had been nominated.
Wow.
So, she was out. I had about 2 hours notice. My grandparents were in town.
Amazing.
And I was supposed to go to dinner with them, and I suddenly was like, "I'm so sorry, I have to cancel on dinner, but I will see you. I will see you after the show. We'll go for dessert." Mm-hmm. So it was a huge surprise when all of a sudden they opened their playbill and they're like, "The role of Diana Ross will be played by Ariana DeBose." And my costumes were not done. My dresses, because she wore a lot of gowns, were not properly weighted. They hadn't really finished my wigs. So it was a really rapid thing. And I hadn't actually had a full run through. I didn't get a put in. I got a Dion Figgins, our dance captain, came in and was like, "Girl, you're on, let's go." And she walked me through most of the numbers. Thank God that was another situation where I stood beside her for most of the show.
Right.
So I knew the vicinity of things. But I will never forget that evening. That was terrifying. Because I'm like waddling in these dresses because the fabric's just caught in my legs and all my heels. And then there's this one part where you're traveling down in this fabulous red cape thing. Mm-hmm. And you're standing under the Diana sign. And things are moving and flying. You have to clear the sign. And I barely made it.
Oh.
Like to the point where a stagehand was in the wing. Gesturing very largely. Almost said bigly. Almost.
It's 11:30 at night.
Largely. For me to move. It was so bigly. Really bigly.
Just like my hands. They were so huge. So they were fantastic. Let me tell you.
Let me tell you. That evening was fascinating. And, you know, I didn't die. No one died. The people stood and clapped at the end, and my cast was lovely to me. But yeah,
that is pretty insane.
It was insane.
It's pretty insane.
But my producers were lovely about it, and they sent flowers and were very supportive. Something
really nice.
I never expected. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh,
it was a pleasant surprise.
Aww.
And then shortly after that, I was on for quite a while in the same role.
Remember that.
That's
lovely.
She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and needed to take some time off. Mm-hmm. So I filled in the gaps between the next Diana. It was fun.
That's an amazing experience.
I was 22 years old playing a living legend.
Right.
However long a time it was. You know what I mean? It was not something I was looking for, and it taught me a lot.
I bet. Jonathan, have you had a crazy understudying experience?
I don't know if I've had like a
because Jonathan doesn't understudy.
He just plays the role.
I just have roles.
Rolls.
U-S next to anything.
International theater star, Jonathan Gaberta. Welcome.
I don't have any roles on it. It just says lead. It just says cast me on it. No, I don't think I have, like, any, like, crazy, like, high-stress, like, last-minute high-stakes moment. What I did when I first graduated, Western was my first job, was at this really awesome theme park in Pennsylvania. And I was the male swing. And I had to cover, again, I mean, we did four or five 45-minute shows, and all the guys were in all of them.
Oh.
So I had to memorize the ins and outs of every single show, every single formation, every single dance, every single vocal part, all of that.
Every track.
Which was really cool, just kind of swinging on steroids.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Swinging in general already is such a, I don't know, is such an unbelievable skill and mindset. But to do that, like, in a theme park setting, to be like, okay, who am I on Wednesday?
Yep.
Okay. So they do these shows at these times, and they're on these numbers. Like, the diagrams I had and the color coding with the female swing was like.
You know what? You are totally wired for that. Like, you're really organized, and like, it's so, and yeah, I bet that was, it sucked while you were doing it, I'm sure, but.
Totally.
You excelled at that.
I did. I was like, okay, once I got it down, like, once I sat down and, like, actually being the characters was like, easy. That was almost wallpaper work compared to what number and, like, all the technical stuff, but it was, and then I had to do the tech. I swung for the tech guy as well. So
oh,
lights,
no.
What?
Wow, that's
mics.
Now, that's
crazy.
A real, that's, that is
a lot.
Whoa.
That is not fun. Nope.
And the manager and the stunt captain, because we had a stunt show. So I did three different tracks in a stunt show.
So basically, you can do anything. Awesome.
That
great.
Whole summer. So, like, that was my,
hashtag
like.
Hashtag
Hashtag ready.
Hashtag prepared.
But, like, yeah, that was
an
my
actor
crazy.
Literally prepares. Wow.
Yeah, that was a lot, but.
I knew all of that, and yet this was a reminder.
Yep.
You're fabulous.
Still have that binder.
Wow.
Ugh, the binders.
That's people don't tell you, like, when you move to New York City and you work in the way that we work, you collect a lot of binders.
Yep.
And I'm like, I don't got enough bookshelves for all these binders.
But you don't want to get rid of it because it's so much, like, work. You don't want to throw it away.
Well, and I have, like, first copies of shows.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You got to keep, like, that. You got to keep that.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe I'll just get a storage unit for all that.
For all these binders.
I'm lucky to have as many shows as I do under my belt. But, you know, I'm like, one day I'm going to want to look back and be like, oh, I remember when that lyric was that. And
yep.
If anybody got any extra crates or trunks out there, send them my way.
I love being a swing. That's like, that's my jam.
That's your jam.
That's my jam.
Happy place.
And I did that for, like, I've done that a lot. And, and the binders and the, like, where do I go tonight? And I live on that. But before I got super into it, I remember having one day where I got a call in the afternoon. They said, what are you doing? And I happened to be in North Carolina because my grandmother just passed away. Mm-hmm. And I get a call from our dance teacher, Karen Tomczak, being like,
oh,
what are you doing?
Yes.
And
well, I'm grieving. What are you doing?
Right, exactly. And I love Karen. I was like, I'm in North Carolina. What's up? And she said, well, our Joan and Dames at Sea broke her ankle. Mm. And I literally just had that experience with Ariana, like, a year before. And I was like, great. What is it with people breaking ankles? Am I a curse?
It works out great in my favor, but I feel really bad for them.
But, like, sorry. And she had me audition via Skype 30 minutes later. I was on the road 5 minutes after my audition to Highlands to be in Dames at Sea. I learned the part. I never even heard of the show, you guys. I was like, Dames where? Like, is it South Pacific? You're just calling it something different?
Right.
Nope. Tap show. Am I a tapper?
We were the two. We didn't tap. We did not tap. No.
I mean, like, I can fake it really well. So that's basically what I did. And in 30 hours, I learned a show.
Oh my God.
Of a 5-person show.
Well,
and
done.
This tap thing. And I remember being in...
It was a five-person show in Highlands?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or five or six people
oh
who were in that show.
Oh, my God.
That's impressive.
And it was crazy. And I was crying because I couldn't memorize a song. Like, I couldn't memorize my solo. I was like, I know the lines and I know the dances. I just don't know this solo. And I have to sing it tonight. And the director comes up to me and he's like, you know what, Jess, like, I know you and no one could do this right now except you. Mm-hmm. So you're going to use the music tonight and you're going to have a character choice.
Yeah.
And so I added it into the show where I went up and I was like, I have a new idea, a new panacea. And I went and got the sheet music and I said, sing the blues away with a song. And I had the sheet music and I just sang it because there was absolutely no way that it was all going to happen in 30 hours. Yeah, the Olympics were on TV.
There was a lot going on.
There was a lot.
Yeah. Those moments are crazy.
And so what happened to homegirl?
Homegirl never
She never came back. I finished out the run. And she worked in the box office.
Wow.
And she is such a wonderful person and actress. And it was really hard too because she was like a part of the family.
Yeah.
But I was so lucky in that like I got to work with so many amazing people and like thank God for Karen for thinking of me in that moment. I mean, she is such a wonderful person. If you don't know Karen Tomczak,
You should.
She's I think the hardest working person in this industry and the education field. So check her out. Okay, you guys, so any more last minute questions?
I don't know.
Ari, do you have anything for us?
Yeah, I mean, tell us about, in like, hot minute. I mean, because we talked about the show, but, I mean, we haven't talked about that was your Broadway debut.
Yeah.
Like, that was your...
Big deal.
You've reached Mecca.
Yeah.
Moment.
It was.
You know, and... Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
It was great. There's actually, you can go relive it on YouTube. I did a thing with Playbill.com. They follow me around on the way to my Broadway debut, and that is a very accurate interpretation of how I felt. I was crying all the time. I cried the whole day. And it's never what you dream it's going to be. It's so much more. And most of the time it's better. That was better. You know what I mean? Better than what I hoped for. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, it's like a chorus line. It's like every little step. Like it really is this gorgeous and the people are nice and it does feel good to know that, you know, like I did a thing.
Right.
And I made it.
Right.
I didn't get fired.
I didn't break anything.
I got to do the thing and have my friends be there with me because John was there and my mom was there and, you know, Terrence Mann came to the show as, to support me opening night and I couldn't believe it. You know, I just felt it's a Cinderella moment, those moments. And, yeah, but definitely go watch the video because I can't explain it better than I just did.
Also
but
see,
the
like
video
a
is very
20-year-old, 19-year-old.
I was 21. Yeah. I was 21 when we came to Broadway, and that was the thing. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm 21. What am I gonna do now? Like, I hope the show never ends. Am I ever gonna work again?
Right.
Ah, you know, I was totally in that actor phase, you know, that actor moment. And I was really lucky I booked Motown before Bring It On closed. And then the show closed December 31st. And then January 6th, I started a new show.
Amazing.
And I was just so grateful because I couldn't believe it. Literally. Yeah, and that's the thing. My journey is so weird. Because, yeah, this was not what I was going to do. I was going to go be a backup dancer for Madonna or figure out how to sing and be one of Bette Midler's harlots, even though her backup singers are called her harlots. I'm like, live, queen.
You can still
do
that. There is still time.
And you never know. If Madonna called, I might be like, yes, girl, there.
And when Bette's done being Dolly,
hunty,
she's going to need some dances.
She's going to need some dancers who sing really well.
Yep.
So
I would even do it.
Oh, I'm ready.
He saw Dolly, right? You saw Dolly, and she was brilliant.
I did.
Just wait till next week. I wish. I wish. No, guys, don't get excited. Guys. Don't get excited. Not
I
yet.
Even just,
not
yet. Oh my God, I just almost spilled my rosé. I was so excited. So you tell him, you're keeping stuff for me? Oh my God, you got Bette. I would wet myself.
I would die.
If our listeners out there have any connections with Bette Midler and want to send us an email, canonsandtunes@gmail.com.
She would recognize me as the guy up on the balcony screaming down at her. Every time she opened up her mouth.
Fantastic. I was talking about this at dinner with Nick Cordero and his fiancée, Amanda Klutz, and Bobby Conte Thornton from my show. And we were talking about, like, we're in an age now where we are beginning to celebrate the woman above the title again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time we really took a moment to really celebrate it? Carol Channing in the same show? Like, this was a musical that was created as a star vehicle for whatever woman's planet, you know? And each woman that wears those robes brings herself to it. It's really fascinating to watch that character change with the times.
Mm-hmm.
And the person.
And as we've seen, women of different colors can play that part and be effective and move people. And I'm just really excited that we're getting back to that moment of there is a female name above the title.
Right.
Before you see a male name, you see her name.
Yeah.
That's glorious to me.
It's going to be an interesting trend that I think that we're going to see in musical theater history coming up here.
Right.
Especially because we're entering like this other golden age of musical theater. And I think that we're going to see some repetitions of things that we saw during that time as well.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, we're lucky this season to have so many incredible women of incredible fame on Broadway. You know, Cate Blanchett made her debut. We've got Glenn doing Sunset Boulevard in a really wonderful revival.
Yes.
I don't think that show gets enough props.
I would agree. It's great.
Lonnie Price did an incredible job with revitalizing that show. But, you know, Patty, Christine, Sally Field.
Well, we see Miss Saigon with seeing, like, a young woman. Mm-hmm. Like, literally her Broadway debut. Guys, this girl's, like, 19 years old.
Yeah, Ava, she is young.
She is fierce, though.
Singing down and crying her face off.
Just,
like, going so deep every night. Yes. And she has been doing the show for a long time. Yeah. But she's the fact that she can still pull it out and go that deep every night. It's really to be respected.
You and A Bronx Tale.
Thank you. I appreciate the acknowledgement. Someone acknowledged it.
Guys.
Sitting on my stoop, on my stoop, on my stoop, on Belmont Avenue.
Soup. Now that it's fun, and I'm really proud of the work I was able to do with Jane because they allowed me to enhance her.
Right.
And that's not what I thought I was walking into when I took this job. So it was a pleasant surprise, you know, to be in a room with that star power and to have them listen to your ideas. I'm like, well, what if she said this instead?
Right.
Same thing, but what if she says it like this?
Right.
And that was cool.
And being able to shape it the way that you want to.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, it was nice. I was like, oh, I can make her a triple threat. Liv! Sergio was all about it. He was like, honey, I want you to dance. Kick your legs.
Yes!
He was like, barrel turns. And then we realized maybe the barrels weren't very appropriate. Not for the girl on Webster Avenue.
Maybe just like a solid fan kick.
No, just one. One.
Just one.
Oh my God, I did try, true story, I tried to do a fan kick the other night in the show. It was not a good choice. So that Broadway audience might not have been very impressed with my dancing skills. But I went for it.
That's all that counts. So you can go and see Ariana in A Bronx Tale right now.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
At the Long Acre Theater on 48th Street. Yes. You can't miss it. It's a big green sign.
And where can they follow you on social media?
You can follow me at Ariana DeBose.
On everything.
On everything.
Great.
I even have a Tumblr, but I'm not going to tell you what it's called. So if you can find it, feel free to follow.
Have to find 16-year-old Ariana.
Oh, my God. It's absurd. I loved Tumblr. I still love Tumblr. And true story, Gillian Anderson has a Tumblr.
Oh.
And her name is Chewy's girlfriend. So
there you go.
I don't want to hear it. Yeah, I think those are all of my social media. I'm a big Instagrammer. I love Instagram.
Yes, pictures are on Instagram.
IG.
About
okay,
it.
Jonathan, where can they find you?
Jonathan Caberta. You know where. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
That. Is it the Jonathan Caberta?
No, it is just Jonathan Caberta. JonathanCaberda.
No vowels.
I know you want to put a vowel there, but don't do it.
That was good.
And, you
and what about you, Jessica?
Follow me at, what am I at? JMHumphrey1 on Twitter and Instagram, and then find me on Facebook or whatever. And then you can follow the show at Tannins and Tunes on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then always send us an email at tannins and tunes@gmail.com. Make sure to tweet us, email us, review us on iTunes, and let us know your thoughts.
Yeah,
follow.
I
want to
hear from everybody that tries this rosé because it's amazing.
It really is incredible, you guys.
I'm expecting people to send me a message.
Like,
I'm actively looking for
ASAP.
It.
ASAP.
Seriously, or just put it in the iTunes review about how much you love this rosé.
Whether it's at
I'm sending it to Martha Plimpton.
Like,
she is rosé all day, so she's going to get a bottle of that. Because of you, Jessica.
Yes,
Humphrey.
Come to BTL Harlem. Well, thank you, Ariana, for joining us today.
It was a pleasure tonight.
And, oh God, it's so late,
like,
you guys.
Is there daylight?
It's so late. We are all so tired. But thank you, listeners, for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Mwah.
Bye.
Move. Welcome to Jackson.
That was a cool episode.
That was such a good episode.
Listeners, I don't know if you remember Jimmy.
Hi, guys.
But he's back.
Hi, friends. I am here for a long time.
So this was Jonathan's last episode with us.
R.I.P. Jonathan. No, he's not dead.
He's not dead.
Oh, never mind.
Just doing Guys and Dolls.
Right.
He's
being Big Julie in Guys and Dolls, and then he's being Big Julie in Newsies.
It's perfect.
It's gonna be the best.
You know Jonathan's mom.
I do know Jonathan's mom. This happened after our Red, Right, and Crew episode. I put it up on Facebook. Hey guys, I'm doing this podcast for the summer. And then, Mama Caberta, Pauline Caberta, replied to it, to which I was like, Pauline, we did the silliest Christmas show together called A Swingin' Christmas in Pennsylvania.
Back in the day.
It's so back in the day. It was before I even met Jessica. Pauline and I were so intertwined that she was my secret Santa. Hey, Pauline, I still have your Footloose mug that you gave me. All right.
I love it.
My Christmas angel. You're mine.
So now we have three moms that listen to the podcast.
Oh, right. Hi, Mom. Hi, Janet. Guys, get ready for Janet. All right.
Also, my mother has her thoughts about the podcast,
right,
which you will be sure to hear. So if you're a mom out there and you listen to this podcast, tweet at us, Instagram me, whatever.
Yeah. All right, this is the podcast for moms, all right? Are you a mom who loves show tunes and loves drinking? Are you from the 1960s and you were going to have a career in acting, but then you decided to have a family and you drowned those sorrows in wine? Ooh, this is the podcast for you.
Obviously. Also, you guys, I wanted to let you know, we have a really cool episode coming up in honor of the Tony Awards.
Yes!
The Super Bowl of Broadway.
Meow, meow, meow.
So be sure to check out our Instagram because we're going to have our Tony Awards drinking game called Tasting the Tonys with Tannins and Tunes.
Ah, alliteration.
I love alliteration. Yeah. I'm like a Stephen Sondheim over here. We're going to have that up on our Instagram. The rules will be up there. What we're drinking will be up there. And follow along with us on Tony Day because you're going to see really fun Instagram Live videos.
Instagram Live, Instagram Stories.
It's
going to
be
itself.
Really fun.
Guys, we are not sponsored by Instagram, but we would love to be.
Right? Check us out on all things. We'll probably tweet too. We'll try. We'll try to tweet.
Sure, whatever. Yeah,
And then we're going to do a really cool reactions episode to the Tonys. So make sure that you check that out next time.
Oh, guys, watch, because I don't know about anybody else, but I will be dressed to the nines.
Oh, yes. Please dress up for your Tony viewing party.
For your Tannins and Tunes Tony viewing party. Your Tannins and Tonys viewing
yes.
party.
Hashtag Tannins and Tonys. Also, tag us on Instagram or on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever if you're having a Tonys viewing party and you're using our drinking game.
Yes, please do. Jessica, is our after show of this right now longer than the actual interview?
Probably. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Bye.